We're going to forget something.
Hello, everybody. Scott here from Party Foul.
Take two.
Take two, because apparently
technical issues.
And then it's not recording. Anyways, I'm Scott. And as we quickly talked about before, on my painting table, I have the Night Vault 2 units.
What's Night Vault?
Night Vault is the Underworld Warhammer game.
It's an expansion for
Shadespire.
Yes.
Yes, there we go. So I got Zarbag's Gits, and I just picked up Eye of the Nine. So I'm just assembling the Eye of the Nine
right now. So you got to make sure we don't miss anything. Why are they called the Eye of the Nine if there's only like 6 models?
I don't know. Maybe they only have 9 eyes.
This feels like deja vu. Isn't there a guy that doesn't have any eyes?
Yeah, he's got like Eye of Sight, but that's not relevant in this game.
No, well, it could be. And
we've done this conversation.
We have, and not that long ago either. So Zarbag's Gits, I love the models. They're really cool looking when they're painted. But
how do you feel about the color of what plastic they used?
It looks like diarrhea brown, like the yellow brown that comes out when you've eaten, like, I don't know, too many burritos
just
or something.
Baby poop.
Baby poop, yes. That's like exactly baby. What it looks like.
I don't think I've ever pooped that color since I was a
baby. Poor choice of color. I think they could have gone with like a lime green even, or like a gray would have been better. I know you want them to be, they're trying to make them so they're identifiable if you haven't painted them on the table, but it's still the... So what's on your painting table?
Those guys.
Just that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just finished Haley 3 stuff, so I got like a whole unit of trenchers with the Grenadiers and
Finn. You going to do that?
I'm going to try to bust that.
Apparently, like, Siege is kind of the bee's knees right now, because that's like all the stuff around here is Siege 1, which we talked about before, and then McWaters has been playing some Siege 2, and apparently...
We can talk about Siege 1 again, because we can totally
change
this up.
Because you fucking love that guy.
We can go right into the tournament talk and make this whole different thing and then come to scoring later.
No way, man. No way. We're getting into that scoring thing.
All right.
And so I'm Greg, and on my painting table, I feel like I'm a little smacky today. Do I sound smacky? Anyways.
Maybe it's all the hair on your face.
Yes. I'm trying to grow a beard. I've never done it before. I've had a goatee for like 25 years or something, and now I'm just like, well, I'll just try to grow a full beard.
How's how I feel about that?
She doesn't care.
She doesn't look at you anymore.
No, exactly. She's like, eh, whatever. So it's kind of in the growing end stage. I'll see. You know, I don't know how far I want it to go and stuff. I may just shave it off. It's not as itchy anymore, so that's good.
There's always that phase. I can't grow a beard, so like I get a little bit of scruff, and then I'm done.
It looks like it just kind of grows underneath your chin as opposed to like on your face.
Yeah. All right. Just...
So I have a bunch of stuff on my painting table. I have a converted Kruger 2, and this is kind of based on a photo that I saw in the Circle Facebook group of somebody that had taken Istria and Kruger and kind of mashed them together. Mine's a little different. I kind of use like the Kruger head, and I think that was about it. But it makes a significant difference, because I think he had used a Istria's head or possibly Iris's head or something like that. So it was kind of like
sex change or whatever.
Gender reassignment, whatever, yeah. I can see Kruger being that, sir. I thought about that, but I just, I liked the traditional sort of angry face, whereas Istria and Iris have like a much more placid expression, and I didn't really want that, because Kruger is kind of traditionally an angry guy. So that's pretty cool. So I'm about halfway through painting that, and also on my painting table I got Valkyries, Pharaoh Valkyries, because... That CID is going to be dropping soon, and they're going to be relevant to what I'm playing. I also still got the Gatorman in the pot thing that makes corpse tokens, and
we still don't remember the name.
Puppet Master and Gallows. I don't know. It's pretty good.
Pretty
good. And then for Scott, I got an Earthborn and a unit of pig
lookouts.
Lookouts, yes. The models are super cute and stuff, especially the snowman one. I think there was a guy. Wasn't there a guy that like... Bits ordered all six of them or something?
I don't even know if you can bits order them, but he definitely had a full unit.
Yeah, of so snowman guys.
He might have just been like, whatever, gamer problems. He just goes out and
just
buys
six boxes. I must have this.
Maybe he just molded his own. I don't know. I
mean, maybe. Really,
who knows?
Sounds
but yeah, I've seen that pictures of that in
Disingenuous.
The internet somewhere. Yeah.
Anyways, so that's all the stuff, all the hobby stuff we're doing.
So today's episode, we're going to touch on scoring a little bit and... maybe fuel some fire that's out there. I don't know.
It's been kind of an exciting week.
Yeah.
Not like super exciting, because there's...
Okay, so anyways, normally during a CID process, which I will say, I don't follow CID. I don't have the brain power for it. I don't participate in it. I just don't, because I don't have enough games in me to be able to contribute positively in any kind of manner.
I don't either. I kind of follow a little more than you, but I don't... I think I submitted one battle report once or something like that.
I did follow like the troll one. That was the only one. But normally like they release the CID rules week one and everything's super broken. Yeah.
Everybody freaks out.
Oh my freaking God. But apparently they didn't do that this time.
No, apparently it was pretty mediocre stuff. People were like, meh. Even though some of the stuff sounded pretty darn good compared to...
I mean, at the tournament on Saturday, I played against Russ Fell, and he was playing a bunch of the Scorn.
Yeah.
And he was super excited just talking to him then, because he was like, oh, these changes that are coming out, it's going to make this list so much better.
That was Saturday?
Yeah.
That was week two.
Oh, okay.
So week two is a different story. Oh, yeah.
So apparently they got turned up.
Week two, they got a little crazy. And then week three, they kind of pulled some stuff back, and all the Scorn players around the world, every single one of them, were like, oh my God, you've ruined it. Makeda 3 is unusable and she'll stay on the shelf for eternity and blah, blah, blah. All that sort of whiny nonsense. So we'll talk specifically about
Makeda.
She was definitely the excited one. Like, right. So in week two, she had a little spell added to her list called Hand Job of Ruin, or Hand of Ruin. And at that point in time, in week two, it read, target friendly faction model, so any model, right, gains overtake and its weapons gain grievous wounds. Hand of Ruin lasts for one turn. And it's only cost one, duration turn, not offensive, and not an upkeep.
So you could spam that even last week.
Yes. Last week you could be like, Mullet Karn, you destroy lots of things, and Bronzeback, you destroy lots of things. Something like that. So here's the important thing is, like, I mean, that works very well for heavies and stuff like that when it's like non-feat turn, but her feat, Dance of Death, she immediately casts in sight, so +2 to attack and damage rolls to models within 8 inches of her. Additionally, when a model in Makeda's battle group destroys one or more enemy models in her control range with an attack, either Makeda gains one fury or one fury point can be removed from a model in her battle group. So that model that's like stampeding around with grievous wounds and overtake and stuff like that can surf through an entire unit, end up on a heavy, spend three of its fury or whatever, killing three or four of its fury, killing it, say it's Mullet Karn, and it kills it in four attacks. Then it drops one fury and then it starts mowing down more infantry or something like that. And for every, I get infantry it kills, it ruins a fury, but it can't really taper it down after that because it doesn't have berserk or anything that allows it to have attacks.
That just popped in my head now. What if the War Beasts go on like a crazy run and kill whatever, 15 infantry models?
Yeah.
Right? So does that mean Makeda could have 15 extra fury on her?
You can't exceed her fury stat, I don't believe.
Okay, but it doesn't matter because she's already activated at this point, so it's moot. Doesn't matter.
No.
So who cares?
She can personally do some crazy work.
I was just thinking out of turn activation, thinking it's not going to work. So no, my brain just shut off.
It's okay. So apparently the problem, at least the main complaint that I've heard about this, is that it makes her unfocused.
Right.
Because part of her kit is like battle group focus, because she does have Bulwark, which is a fucking amazing spell, and Scorn players should be happy to get anything nice.
Well, we should tell everybody who doesn't know what Bulwark is. While in the spellcaster's control range and base-to-base with one or more models in this battle group, models in the spellcaster's battle group get +2 death and cannot become knocked down.
Yeah.
It's kind of like even ground. It's a poor man's even ground.
It's pretty nice to have like a defense 15 Mullet Karn who can make you reroll attack rolls, you know?
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's pretty good. So anyways, but Insight is a spell that affects all friendly faction models. So all friendly faction models within 8 inches of Makeda get +2 to attack and damage rolls. So part of her feat is helping everybody, right? Yeah. So it's kind of like she does a little bit for the battle group and a little bit for the infantry. And I mean, really, you know, coming from Circle, there's a lot of casters that I have that are extremely battle group focused, and it's not necessarily good for the faction.
But there's got to be some kind of super solo that can just go out there and wreck the world.
No.
She doesn't have a super solo access, like something that she can...
Oh, her?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, her. I thought you were talking Circle. About Circle. No. I was like, no. Okay, so the problem with... Well, not the problem. See, I don't know if it's a problem. Say, like, Hakkar, right? Hakkar can wreck the world on this, potentially, or a lot of things. I mean, he can have three souls and he has two initials. So he's not going to gain any of the unlimited attacks that the War Beast can potentially get. But he can have five attacks that are all grievous wounds and overtake and +2 to hit and damage. So
do some work.
And Hakkar, as it is, can already like kill some pretty major shit when he's on his own, right? With three fury, but he's got +2 to attack and damage roll. It does even more. So I think that complaint or that argument against the change to Hand of Ruin, because now it's Friendly Faction Warrior Model. I don't know if I mentioned that, but it's only affects Friendly Faction Warrior Model. So she can only put this spell on 5 Warrior Models or 6 Warrior Models, say, if she wants to spend her stack on it on the feed turn for free. So with the with this particular theme, I mean, you don't have to play her in this theme, but the Ancestral Guardians can have souls and buy attacks. The Hakkar can have souls and buy attacks. I don't know if the new solo dude can do that as well. No, he can't do that. But there's a number of models that can buy multiple attacks and go on a little tear. And while they're doing that, she could spend her stack, you know, killing things and handing out Hand of Ruin or whatever, upkeeping Bulwark. And then she's naked, and then those guys go and they kill shit, and she can just
load up
on the Fury as she desires, right?
She's going to be pretty dangerous because she's going to be up there. If she's everything within 8 inches is getting the +2. So that's going to limit how far Insight can work. So you might want to load up on Fury afterwards to make her a little harder to kill in case you
left. Yeah, no, open. For sure. But I think with Insight, I mean, they seem to be trying to find a caster to make it work on because it didn't seem to really work for Fury 3. Yeah. And Legion players haven't been playing much of Veil 1 because of the fact that her feet changed and she can't cat and mouse herself. So, yeah, Insight is dangerous to use because you have to be further up the table. And Makeda will be like, what, defense 17 with Bulwark? And she can Bulwark with her little Exalted Court peoples. Yeah, they're considered part of the battle group. Yeah. So she can be personally defense 17 and immune to knockdown. She has 2 shield guards with the Exalted Court and their armor 18. And then when the unit's damaged, they get +2 armor. So armor 20, shield guards. Pretty good. Makeda herself is also battle driven. So if she shield guards 1 and that model takes damage, then she becomes armor 18, defense 17, armor 18, and immune to knockdown. Sounds pretty good. She also gets +2 strength. So I guess I should revise that. On her feet turn, she can be POW 19. Mat 10, POW 19 with the overtake and grievous wounds.
Eek.
So tell me she can't just like personally obliterate a unit that got too close or whatever. Or at POW fucking 19, just like kill a heavy. Because she can be like, I'm just going to spend all 6 of my fucking fury because one of my war beasts is going to kill some shit and I'll get fury back from that. So anyways, a lot of whiny woo-woo about the change of Hand of Ruin and some of the comments on the, because they had a developers talk about Makeda 3 because of all the whiny woo-woo. And there's comments about like, what do you want her to be? Is she supposed to be Butcher? Is she supposed to be this or whatever? And I'm kind of like,
Can't she be herself? Yeah, like, why do you got to like lump her into something else?
Pigeonhole her in, yeah. Oh, and somebody was like, that she needs fury management outside of feet turn so that she can get more use out of Hand of Ruin. And I'm like, are you fucking insane? She's got to be able to Pac-Man the crap out of everything every single turn for you to be happy. Like, fucking hell.
That's some people, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, I mean, there's comments like, oh, she started on the shelf. She's going to stay on the shelf. Wah, wah, wah. And I'm like, this caster looks amazing.
Some people, if it's not S tier right off the bat, they don't want to like...
I don't know if she's S tier, but she looks good.
But that's what I mean. Like, if it's not S tier, then they're just like, they don't care.
Yeah.
It's got to be, I suppose, the top 3, you know.
I suppose. I would use the shit out of this in Circle. Hell yeah.
Anything else you want to touch on in Scorn?
Well, there was something else that was a bit of a grumbling point for
Is the Ancestral Guardian.
Hmm?
No, that's not the one I'm thinking.
You're talking about the Battle Engine, right?
Yeah, is that thing still stupid broken?
They did make a slight change to that. The Supreme Guardian. Did they? Oh, no. What they did do is they made a change to the Solo or the Attachment that gives +2 strength. It's now turned, not round. So before it used to be like you could put that on the Ancestral Guardian and it would have a POW 20 defensive strike, right? Now
it's only POW 18.
Now it's only POW 18. Apparently that's not that cool. But I don't think that was the thing that people were complaining about most. They're mostly complaining about Makeda, right? The other thing was the Irradius Sentinel, right? Yes, it was. So in week 2, it had Gunfighter, right? And I guess they just explained. I think it was week 1. They removed its range attack and made it a spray. So it used to be like, I can't remember, it was range 10 or 12 or something in POW 13, but they made it a spray 10, rate of fire 1, AOE 14, or AOE nothing, POW 14, and still has poison and corrosion. So I think you traded some range, but you got, you know, the potential to hit more models with it, and it still has poison. And apparently with Gunfighter, it has like some amazing assassination potential, right? Because you can just, you can't mitigate its range by engaging it, right? If your caster happens to be in 10 inches of where it is, if it's engaged by anything, then yeah, you can get sprayed by a poison one. Like I imagine that, what is it? It's Xerxes 2, that's the big guy on the Rhino. Right. His feat is like, you can force War Beast outside of his control and you get like signs importance. Yeah. And he doesn't have mobility. He just has Field Marshal plus 2 speed or some shit. Right. So now it's like speed 5 charges 8 inches and it can assault. Oh no, it's got Gunfighter. You can charge and then make the, yeah, you can. It's not an assault attack, but it's a Gunfighter attack. So you could charge that model and then make the Gunfighter attack as your charge attack, spray it, and then catch the caster behind, boost and attack and boost damage roll with signs importance. And then you got, 5 dice dropping the lowest on damage on a POW 14 spray. So like an 18-inch threat or whatever. That's just one with one caster or whatever. I mean, so the reason they changed that is basically that reason. They're saying like it's too strong of an assassination play with certain casters, and engagement not being a counterplay is a problem. So, which sounds totally reasonable to me, but some people are not reasonable. So, there was a lot of people that were like, I guess, like you said, the problem is like, usually you start super hot with the rules and then totally like start scaling it back to being realistic. Problem was they went with a peak in week 2 and then started to bring it down, and everybody's like all poopy now. So
how is Supreme Guardian only 16 points?
I don't know, man. I don't know. There's a lot of good stuff in here. Like whatever. What did they give? They gave the Mammoth some stuff. They definitely reduced his points. He's got a star attack called Full Battery Fire. This weapon becomes POW 20 for this attack. On a direct hit, models hit are thrown D6 inches directly away from the attacker.
Not even a crit, just automatically happens.
Yep.
So why are they, I don't know, I guess if there's a feat that says you can't make star actions, you lose it then.
Yeah.
But otherwise, why would you shoot normally?
Because you get D3 plus 1 shots at POW 15, I guess. Depends on what, and they're AOE 3, so you could potentially kill more infantry with that. Whereas this one does not have an AOE, I don't believe.
But you're throwing stuff.
Wait, direct hit models hit. Maybe it is rate of fire. Maybe it is AOE 3.
Must have AOE on the gun itself. What's AOE on the gun?
3.
Itself? So it's 3 at AOE.
Right.
Oh, bye-bye, champions.
And POW 20. So,
yeah.
You know, there's that. Has pain maddened. So when it's damaged by an enemy attack, this model gains plus 2 speed for one round. Because it is base speed 4. So.
By an enemy attack?
Yep.
No, that's kind of... I guess if you shoot it, it gets faster. But
shoot it or punch it or whatever. Well, it doesn't matter.
If you punched it, it's probably going to stay there and punch whatever punched it. I'm just thinking more if it let the pain givers whip it.
That's too much, man. But I guess you combine that with Rush and stuff.
Yeah.
Play it with Xerxes 2. That's got plus 6 speed.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
From downtown.
So I think there's some interesting thing. I just think the whining about the changes was... way over blown for what the changes were. Like, I still think Makeda 3 looks like a great caster. I don't know. I don't play Scorn though, so I'm not like, you got to be better than Rasheth and what else they fucking play.
Yeah.
Whatever they're playing
against Zal, you know? 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I've seen them Zal 1 or whatever, and Zal 2 as well. And they got that dude that just keeps coming back. Abaddon the Keeper. There's a lot of expectations for CIDs these days, though, so, you know, I guess the whining is kind of related to that. I guess. I don't know. The hell? You got more options than double Derp Turtles and Immortals now. Now you have Immortals with double Battle Engine Supreme Guardians. Supreme. Hey, I want to see somebody like paint it and they put like the Supreme logo on it. paint it like Extacion or whatever with his tattoos and shit. Anyways, so I think that's pretty much everything. I mean, and also the theme gives all of the immortals like, what is it called? They can't be pushed. They can't be slammed. They can't be knocked down. They can't be placed. All that shit, right? So I'm just like, yeah, fuck you. It's a fantastic theme benefit. So good. Especially on like a Supreme Guardian. But I mean, like, yes, no, he normally can't be pushed and stuff, but place effects are a big way to deal with battle engines that turn have power 18 defensive strike, right? It's a pretty big deal. So yeah, I don't know. A lot of overreaction from the scoring community, I think, there. It looks like a perfectly fine CID, and it hasn't really got to its final incarnation. I think it's like amusing that they had to have a developer's talk about,
but maybe KDA3. Maybe scoring freaked out enough and they may get some stuff back. Like,
well, that is certainly like, that seems to be the modus operandi. PP's like, oh, if they whine enough, we'll give them something. Right? Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that kind of happened with the Legion CID from some people that we know. They were saying that there was almost like a mafia of people that were like, anything that was like listed in the feedback as like, this needs improvement, they're like, no, blah, 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 you have Hellmouths, garbage, you know, just trying to keep any of the, any good stuff from happening to Legion. Whereas, there's a bit of a mafia in the Scorn CID where they're like, oh my God, this is not good enough. We need more.
Apparently there are more Scorn players than I thought.
Oh yeah. I know there's a lot of people that play Scorn. I think they just don't necessarily.
Maybe more people scared of Legion. So they were in there saying Legion's too good already. Don't give them anything.
Maybe. I suppose it just depends on who is, active.
I think it worked though, because whatever they changed in Legion, isn't it that JVM hasn't won since?
No, he won something.
Did he? I thought pre
CID. He was part of the team that won on Boker's Brawl, but, yeah. And he went 6-0 at,
who definitely crushed
at WTC. Yeah.
It was funny.
So yeah, JVM is, the JVM effect, is that what it is?
We can't
buff this stuff too much, otherwise nobody will be able to beat JVM.
That's it. The reason why you don't get nice things is JVM.
Yes, exactly. So I think Scorn players should just shut up and be happy. But, and I hope you're mad about that, Scorn players.
You can say that about a lot of players, so whatever.
Yeah. I'm sure there's like a lot of reasonable Scorn players. They're just not online whining their asses off because Muluk Karn can't destroy your entire army. Or something like that. So yeah, that's the Scorn thing. What else were we going to talk about? Now that I've got too deep in that, I've kind of like forgotten everything else. Yes.
I played a tournament.
Oh, that's right. Let's hear about that.
So we could do a quick battle report on that.
I couldn't go to this tournament because it was my in-law's 50th wedding anniversary.
Well, that's nice.
Boring. We managed to get through the evening without any verbal arguments though. So it was a success.
So we had the World Ender on Saturday. It was a minor, so just for points. But the winner gets a ticket to Tabletop Gaming Expo, which is in July.
Great.
So I was like, even Norbert was messaging me like Friday night, like, what are you taking? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I was pulling my Crix out.
What, was he trying to meta the meta?
I don't know, maybe. I was like pulling Crix out. I was looking at my Trolls and my Signar. I took Siege 1 basically by himself to the first one, and I went 3-1. Made one little mistake and lost a game.
Yeah.
Where if I had more experience, I wouldn't have lost it. So it was like, damn it. So then in the end, I was like, all right, I'll take Signar and Siege 1 again. And then I get to the event. And
was there another list or was it just?
Well, that's why we get to the event. And I'm writing out my list. And I'm like, well, I guess I need something else.
Yeah.
So I like look in my bag. I'm like, oh, I got Haley 2. So I like wrote that down. I was like, I'll take 3 Hammersmiths. And I look in my bag. I got 1. All right, we'll change this now. I like borrow some models off Lionel, who's got them like displayed there. I'm like taking models off that to make a list. So I just did it in heavy metal with a whole bunch of jacks and whatever else I had in my bag. But the plan was just Siege 1 all day anyways.
Yeah.
I'm still in that phase where I want to play it into everything.
Sure.
To still figure out what I need the other list to do.
Right.
I'm just not smart enough to like theory machine myself into what the other list has to do. So I did that. Round 1, I got to go against Prime Dave.
Oh, okay.
Dave Wayland, because the two Daves had an epic showdown at the last World Ender.
Right.
So that was for epic status.
I see.
Dave Goche won. He's now Epic Dave.
Okay.
This is Prime Dave.
And he plays Trolls,
right? He's playing Trolls right now, but I think he's working on some Mercs right now.
Yep.
So he's got Gunny and Madrak 1.
Okay.
Madrak 1, I think I can handle pretty good. Def 16 champions might be a little bit of an issue, but not too much, so I think it'd be okay.
Yep.
We played the gunny matchup, I think, in like a practice game, and I barely pulled it out. So it was like a nice tight game. So he drops gunny again so we could try it again.
Mm-hmm.
I won the die to roll first. I just run up the board, take as much space as I can, but not really thinking because I make mistakes. Thinking, oh, I'm okay here. Snipe on the Glacier King with the ice ability, walks up, and then he leaves my first battle engine on 8 boxes.
Holy shit.
After 3 shots. Like, I'm straight up losing that next turn.
Is it time to kill the Glacier King?
Well,
did he feed?
Yes.
Oh, balls.
Well, I knew he was feeding that turn, and then he did his whole turn and forgot to feed.
Oh, okay.
But I was like, no, you feed it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm like, otherwise, if you don't feed, you lose your army and you're going to lose.
Yeah.
So no, you feed it. Let's play this the right way. So I'm looking at the board and I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm like, I can't kill that. I'm like, if I feed, I can kill like the Fenblades with E-leaps because the auto kill them, but it's a waste.
Yeah.
I could kill maybe 5 or 6 without the feed. I'm like,
Can you just run the battle engine all the way back so it doesn't die? Or?
Then it's out of the game. And I was like, okay, so here's what I'm going to do. A plan, a light bulb pops in my head. And this is because I've been playing Siege for a bit now.
Yeah.
So I run my Lancer.
Okay.
Over to the side. And now my plan is I'm going to force hammer gunny. Plan part A, force hammer gunny.
Okay. Is this to get stuff out of his control?
No. So I cast, so I feet.
Yeah, yeah.
So I get gunny in there. I'm like, I'm going to straight up try to assassinate him right now.
How do you assassinate him on his feet turn?
Exactly. Follow along. So
okay.
Follow along. So I go to roll and I'm obviously going to boost and, I'm like, what's your caster's def? He's like, well, he's base 15. I'm
cover.
Like, right. I forgot about that. So I'm like, so he's def 19. All right. A magic ability 6.
That's a 13.
I only need a 13. Rerollable.
Yeah.
I got a squire.
Yeah, yeah. Still, so it's a 13.
I roll a 14.
Do you really? And not needing the reroll?
Nope.
Oh, shit.
Just first roll. So slams him into a Fenblade. He has to transfer the damage because it's a PAL 12. The armor goes by half and it was a huge hit. So he transfers it.
Is his feat worded the first time the model takes damage?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he transfers it. The Fenblade dies or whatever.
Fenblade's immune to that, isn't it?
Yeah, it didn't matter. Fenblade wasn't. He's immune to collateral damage. So he was fine. But he's not even part of what we need.
Yeah, yeah.
So the other side, I take a shot with.
You're going to kill him with E-leaps?
Nope. So I take a shot with the battle engine, hit a Fenblade, which does 2 leaps, which kills 2 Fenblades.
Okay.
Because the E-leaps killed 2 to kind of free up a little spot that I needed.
Right.
Minuteman 1 decides to go. He moves, leaps, lands, flak fields.
That's not a shooting attack?
No. Does some damage.
Yes.
Power attack, 2-handed throw.
You threw him after that?
Yeah. So I throw him closer to me.
The flak field is not even a star action.
It's no, just any time during its
activation. Okay, yeah, yeah.
So second Minuteman goes, walks, leaps, lands, flak fields, does a couple more points of damage.
Sure.
I think he forces them to transfer that one and then throw them again.
God damn it.
And then something that's never probably happened before in the history of my gaming.
Yes.
Triumph charges
right.
And kills gunny.
I'm gonna beat you down with this shield.
Yep. Went up and just like crack, no tough roll because he's knocked down.
Yes.
So we talked about the game and stuff, and he felt like he was okay, but then he didn't think about clearing a space, or he just made it too easy by having spaces available for me to land.
Sure.
And the jank that I can pull with the Minutemen.
Yep.
If people would have held back a little bit, he didn't need to be that far forward.
Just want to check the Minutemen. They
walk 6, leap 5, throw 4 inches.
And their melee range is half for the throw?
Yeah.
So 11.5 inches. And yeah, I guess if he's in that threat range of both of them, then it's possible. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
It just one of them. The other one threw him closer to the other
one. Right. So right. It's and I guess he throws him 4 inches, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's crazy.
It was definitely crazy, but amusing. We laughed. We play that game again, and I think we might tonight or something. I lose.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's now
sharpened
how to beat it.
Right.
Right. So
just
now,
surround Gunny with bodies.
Pretty much, or hide behind the bodies and not let anybody get there.
Right. Do you think that's basically it? He just has to survive an extra turn to get shit into you, gum you up, and shoot.
Because the next turn is exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to be 12.
Let's say even deep kill 4. Fenblades.
I'll have 8 Fenblades all over me, and I'm going to have to start fighting that. And I still have this Colossal coming at me that I need to deal with.
I guess if the Colossal shot on turn one, it's not like he could have ran it in front of Gunny or anything, right?
So. No, because he could have, I guess, if he didn't shoot.
Yeah, but right, he wanted to right. shoot.
He gave wanted to, and he did very well.
So you lured him in.
Yeah, that was my plan. So that was game one.
Yeah.
It was good times. Game two, I got Russ Fell, who is a Scorn player. He decided to make the trek down, but he didn't bring his buddy with him.
No Colin?
No, he was apparently stuck at home with the kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's playing Scorn. I had no intention of dropping anything with Siege 1 anyways. So right. Siege 1. He dropped Zol 1 with the Exalted theme.
Okay.
Lots of bodies.
Yep. But
I've played lots of bodies with Siege, and I know I can handle it.
Yep.
So I wasn't too whatever.
It's not Zol 2. He doesn't have an armor feat to like make it hard to kill.
Right. He's got some kind of like, not iron flesh, but something that gives plus 2 armor, but
yeah, it's not enough.
I don't know what it is.
Plus 5 armor is a little better under Siege's feet.
Really good. So I run everything up. He runs everything up. And then I just, you know, obviously the hard question is, what's your max threat range? Like, you know, how far can these guys go? And it's a static 11. No way after that to do anything past that. So second turn for me, I stay 12 and a quarter back.
Right.
Because that way he could run and engage at the 12. So I want to make sure I didn't let that happen either.
I guess that's right. 8, 10, 12. Yeah.
So he like, at first he thought, oh, he measures it. And he's like, couldn't do it. And now it's obviously going to be feet turn for me.
Yeah. Kill things.
That was like, you know, top of two. I didn't do anything. I didn't kill anything because if I kill something, it's going to get vengeance and then it's on me. So I didn't do any shooting round two. Like my first two turns were over so fast.
Yeah.
Like ridiculous. Turn three, this is the money turn. I feet and I have to kill as much as possible.
Yeah.
So I'm able to like blow everything out of the center circle. I kill everything there. I tickle some of the stuff on the right, not as much as I wanted. Harlan Versh disappointed me. He rolled 2 shots, failed to hit the first one, and then kills with the second one. I was like,
He's got purgation on this as well?
Yeah, so they had last stand on the unit in the middle, so I was going to get additional. You know, it was just whatever. Thanks, Harlan. And then on the left side, I'm able to kill everything that's going to be within 14 inches after I'm done. So I'm not worried about the left side anymore. I take Kane Zero off the flag and pull him away so that he can't be attacked or anything.
Sure.
So that keeps him alive, which is important later.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a commanding position. I'm like, this was really good. I didn't touch his heavies, but I was definitely able to do a lot of work.
Well, doesn't Zol's feet work on spells too?
What do you mean spells?
Oh, I don't know. I thought he could boost attack and
maybe. It didn't matter.
Sure.
So he feats, and his feat is where he gets to spend models that were destroyed.
Yes, to boost attack and damage rolls.
And I was able to remove, I think I removed 3 models from play with Explosivo.
Sure.
So that was actually good.
Woot.
Because I was like, you don't have enough models to be able to boost all the dead guys I did. So that's not going to be a big deal. I was wrong.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, by the time it was all said and done, he spent every body and definitely clawed himself back into the game.
Well, what was he attacking with?
The immortals that I left.
Oh, yeah?
Because they vengeance up and then charged in. So the guys on the left weren't in the game, but the guys that were still left in the center and the right were able to get on. My battle engine was on like 2 health.
Right.
When he was done. Didn't kill it, but
it
was definitely bad. So then it becomes a little more of a grind. His heavy got in and was, you know, beaten on triumph. Didn't kill him, but hurt him. So the game was kind of like switching back in his favor. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this isn't good. So I tried to recover a little bit. I didn't recover enough. I then lose a battle engine to vengeance. And I'm like, oh God, this is bad. Oh God. He tries to lure me into killing one of his solos to make the corporal dude.
The whatever it's called, Kovas.
Yeah, but I left him on 1.
Okay.
So I didn't kill him. I was like, oh, that was lucky because I think I straight up died at that point.
Yeah.
But he's brought Zol way up and I can't scenario it out. I'm ahead 4-2.
Sure.
But I can't get enough in one turn to just close it out. So I'm like, I think I just got to try to assassinate you. Like, I don't know if this is going to work. The way his reach weapons were, I couldn't get Siege into a force hammer position.
Okay.
Like, I wanted to be able to take a shot too.
Right.
I wasn't able to get out of, like, be within the 8 inches and still do that. And so I was like, oof, this is bad.
No more Lancer at this point.
Lancer's gone.
Yeah.
My Firefly's dead. Triumphs on life support.
Yeah.
But I still have Kane and a fully functional, not even touched Firefly.
Right.
So, Kane goes first, he's looking to do boost the hit with whatever, Thunderbolt or something.
Sure. Hopefully get a crit.
Didn't get a crit. and I forgot to push him, which I should have because it would have pushed him off the hill. Because I was just looking for the crit. I wasn't thinking about the push, right? Totally should have pushed him off the hill. So the first shot I missed. Second shot I hit, didn't crit. And again, forgot to push him off the hill, but whatever. But I rolled 11 for damage.
Yeah.
And his dice off 6, I think. So I did 5 damage right there, which was like huge.
Sure.
He might have been close to naked. The charger goes, boosts the hit because it's powerful attack, hits, does a ton of damage. The other shot hits, does a ton of damage, transfers it, whatever. Then I have one strider left who walks around to get within 8, gets his focus that he needs, the power up for moving and getting static electricity. Boost the hit. I just roll the damage, boost the hit, kill him.
Yeah.
So nice. Put him down. I'm like, oh, that was like so much closer than I expected. Like, oh, because after that turn where I crushed everything, I did not think that he was going to come back.
Right.
Round 3.
Yep.
I got my dodge. I was interested to play this.
Your dodge?
Yeah. Is
this Crix? Yes. Gatsby 3?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I didn't want, I want to play it because I've never played it.
Sure.
So especially with Siege 1, I want to see how it can work. So I got paired up against Norbert. And I got the die to go first, which is amazing because I will tell you now, I automatically lose that game without rolling dice.
If you go second?
If I go second, he doesn't need to roll dice.
Right, he pushes straight up and wins
the game. So thank God I won the dice. I run up, again, not having played it, and I know how far they can go, but I didn't know how far they could go because I didn't even run my full distance.
Right.
And then he engaged my front line with 5 slayers.
What?
I didn't charge or anything.
So if he's going second, he's got 10 inches of deploy, right?
12.
It gives him +2 as well?
Yes.
What's with all these themes giving +2 inches of deployment? Oh my God. And so the slayers run 16 inches?
Yeah.
So that's 29 inch line they can, wow.
Yeah.
Some fast shit.
So obviously it's feet turn for me. He was super cautious with Gatsby, so he was out of my walk and shoot.
Yep.
He didn't want to be anywhere near me.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I was heavily engaged. I might have got one shot on him. Can't one shot him. So
yeah.
I don't think anyways. I haven't done the math. So I attack as much of the stuff as I can in the front. I focus as much. I don't kill anything, but I'm crippling.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Sure, it helps.
You need to cripple. So I cripple a whole bunch of stuff. But I didn't move anywhere. Because I couldn't.
Yes.
Right. So he goes on his bottom of 2.
How many points does he score?
He only scores 1.
Oh, okay.
But it's on the flag I'm never going to get to.
Yeah.
So that was fun. He continues to punch my shit in, lose a couple lights. But I'm still okay.
Yep.
Right. My turn. I still can't get to that flag.
No, of course
so not. So he scores again.
Can you score your flag?
No.
Because there's too many slayers?
Yeah. So, yeah, let's talk about the slayers. We already know. They have carapace.
And unyielding. Yes.
So if you free strike them, they armor get +6 armor.
Armor 23. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
That's ridiculous.
It's good. Yeah. It's almost like invulnerability to... like POW 12 free strikes.
It's just like, whatever. I mean, he didn't even take any free strikes. He didn't need to. I cast gate spell by Kane because he actually ran up and engaged my chargers.
So right.
I punched in the feet turn and then I pulled him out so that way he wouldn't just die right away and be able to get a couple shots off with him.
Right.
So that was okay. But I'm way behind on scenario now because like he scores again in my turn.
Yep.
Goes up to 2. And, you know, he's like,
it'll be 3 on his turn.
At least. Yeah. And then he kills my objective, which will be 4. And then he kills the one guy who's contesting the one zone on the right.
You lose.
So I lose.
Yep.
So I lost 5-0. I mean, I expected it. The fun thing was like, we talked about it afterwards. And Norbert will probably pipe up and argue with me some more. I mean, I've got pictures that I posted on Party Foul's website that you can see and read all the more details. And I didn't put a strider in the zone. I mean, there's a flag there. It's harder for me to tow it.
Yep.
But it doesn't matter if the strider's in there. He can kill it anyways. And if I move that strider, and it would end up being about 4, or it's more than a base. So it's like 6 inches over.
Yep.
It opens up the whole center. I would just die anyways.
Right.
So if he's not winning on scenario, Siege dies. Like,
yeah.
And he's arguing with me that, you know, oh, you could have done this differently. Oh, you could have done that differently. And then... and then even he's like, oh, you know what? If I would have just walked up further that first turn and feated, I would have just beat you harder. I'm like, exactly. The only time, like I would totally play that against anybody in the exact same situation, the exact same list. I guarantee you I can win that game as a Slayer player attacking only things near the flag.
Yeah,
sure. I would not make any other attacks. It wouldn't need to.
Well, you have to contest the other elements to make sure you're
jammed with Slayer, so I'm contesting all that. That's not a problem. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, I could win that game. I mean, he won it a turn faster than my probably method would have been, because then...
Sure.
It was just, like, it was ridiculous.
It's a strong list. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Wasn't... it's very strong.
And you have to have the capacity to kill 3 or 4 Slayers in a turn.
I don't even get a chance, but like in a turn, but even with my feet, I don't have a chance to like tenderize on the way in.
No, you have to kill 3 or 4 Slayers in a turn.
Yeah.
To beat that list.
I can't do it.
Not with Siege. No.
I'm just like, I can't do
maybe
it.
Siege 2. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't even know if Fury and Trenchers do it, but let's see.
Well, right now, Dustin's running Striker 2 to beat it.
Really?
Yeah. He's got some, but Dustin's a savant when it comes to list making. So sure. He knows what the list is going to do, and it's similar to something he's played before, so he's confident he can do it. He still needs to try it, but he's built a list, and it should do it. I don't have a list for it.
Right.
My problem was, it's like, oh, Scar 3, she's like a boogeyman. Oh, look at all those medium baseballs. I can deal with Scar 3.
Sure.
But I'll never see it.
No.
I'm always going to get Slayers.
Well, it depends what they're playing, but yeah.
So
that's not everybody's running Gaspy 3 in their pairing. That's because that's how strong Crix is right now.
Yeah. Well. So last round, ended up that the pair up, pair down situation, Donnie beat the player. So therefore there was a fourth round.
Right.
Because it could have ended there.
Sure.
So I get paired up against Chatty, the Beast.
Oh, yes.
We always have some epic games.
Does he play in Circle?
He's playing Circle. He was running... I want to say maybe Cro-Mac and Bradagus.
That sounds about Chatty.
Yeah.
I mean, usually he's got Balder too, but I can see Bradagus. I think it
was Balder, yeah. So I had played Chatty maybe a month ago at the store on a Wednesday, and I just was starting pretty much with Siege 1.
Yep.
So I played that into him, and it was a close-ish game, and he got on me and effortlessly with Synergy pounded my caster into the ground. So... I dropped Siege anyways.
Sure.
And he dropped Radagus. So it was exact same matchup. I won the Dodigo first. We had a discussion, and it's kind of funny, more my fault than anything, about the lights and their threat ranges. So it can walk and shoot 15 inches.
Yep. Well, with the feet slide, it can shoot 20.
Which we didn't even take that into consideration, but you know, whatever. So 15 inches is the number I had in my head.
Sure. If Siege is going to get killed by World Watchers, you're shitting me, right?
It's not Siege I was worried about.
Oh, really?
So
it was like Kane?
No, it was Jake's.
Oh, fuck. Seriously, isn't Jake's like, what's her defense?
15.
Well, they need 10s, and if you give her any sort of defensive benefit, like base-to-base with sidekick or in cover or something, they just don't kit. Okay, whatever. So can see where this is going.
I stayed out of the 15 inches.
And you're telling me he feeded to kill Jake's?
No.
All right, okay, come on, keep going.
He ported? Yeah.
Okay.
And I just wasn't even thinking about that, and because like I haven't played against... Circle so long. So all of a sudden the 15 that we discussed became 18.
Oh, so he ported him, slid him.
No, just ported him.
Just ported him. So he didn't have to feet.
No.
Oh, okay.
Cause I was within 18, but I was out of 15.
He one shotted her with a watcher.
So I have my Minuteman up in the center. So
where was your robot with the shield? Why wasn't he standing near Jake's?
Because Jake's was on the left flank.
Oh, Jesus, dude. Anyways,
mistakes were made. All
right. Yeah.
So, she's over there by herself. Nothing can do. But I have the two lights in the middle. Mm-hmm. And now that I see what's going to happen, I'm like, I thought it was 15, but fine, whatever. I should have known about the porting.
Yeah.
My own fault.
He can port slide 13. Now it's 23 inches.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, well.
We didn't even get to that part, but it was just the walking threat is what we got. So I'm like, okay. So he needs a 10 to hit. He hits. I got one focus on her because she cast psychic.
And she's armor 14?
13. It's dice minus 1.
Dice minus 1, so he needs an 11.
Right. Thank the Lord he rolled a 4.
Well, he hit the 10 or 11?
He hit the 10.
He hit the 10, but didn't get the 11. Okay.
So then he rolled the damage in 1-1-2.
Yep.
So I'm like, I'll negate that. But I was honest with him. I'm like, if you kill her right there, I scoop.
Oh, you lose, yeah.
He's like, why would you scoop? I'm like, dude.
Those
I'm
two
like,
Minutemen are
I have
gone.
2 Minutemen jammed right in front of me, and there's nothing I can do about it. That slows me down a turn or more.
Yeah.
And my whole army is now not where it should be. You either win on scenario, or I'm just going to get ripped apart.
Yeah.
So then, so he does his turn, positions everything, and then sees this nice juicy hill, so he puts Bradagus on the hill.
Uh-oh.
And then comes to my turn, so top of 2, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I played the long game with you, Chatty, and I didn't really love it. So you have one guy that he took the shot with. He couldn't cast some spells, so it's not armor 21. So
yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I can kill that one. I mean, feet or not. But what's my long game? Long game, when I played them the first time, because they're armor 21 and the way the bonuses are applied, they're really hard to kill even under feet. You get the one watchers, good hit. Yeah. Yeah.
So he's got a numerous shield guards, right?
He does. Four. Is he?
So he's got
four lights,
four watchers, heavies. Four heavies.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the first
how time, many how many shield guards does Bradagus have currently?
One.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mistakes were made.
So then I was like, okay. So I'm like, I don't like the long game. I played it. It's not working out for me. It didn't work out for me last time. I don't, maybe it does this time, but it's like a 50-50 thing. I mean, I know to keep Siege safer than I did last time, so maybe I could do it.
Yeah.
But those are a lot of heavies, and I have a hard time with heavies multiple turns.
Well, and the Watchers count as heavies in a lot of ways.
Exactly. Synergy, they're going to do a ton of work. Yeah. So, and he's on me next turn, so I'm losing stuff, and like, it's going to be hard to come back from it. So I was like, all right, so I'll do some measuring. I'm like, okay, you're within the 19. We talked about it before your turn even ended, which means I have Siege, Triumph, and one battle engine for sure.
Okay.
So the other battle engine, there's
how many transfers?
Two.
Two. Okay.
So he's the other battle engine. There is the objective and a wall. Yep. And the problem is I can't clear either.
Right.
But I can walk up and it gives me that semicircle spot of maybe getting within 14 inches.
Right.
But I can't pre-measure it because there's too many models in the way and it's too hard to measure. So I'm like, I don't know what my percentage is, but I'm going to go for it simply for the fact that I don't want to play the long game.
Yes.
And he's like, so you almost scooped and now you're going to assassinate me? I'm like, well, I'm going to try. So I run a Lancer to get in within 5 inches because I could run and base his objective and I'm within five of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Siege goes, he walks up, he shoots, I hit him and a bunch of stuff. He after doesn't, feeding? After feeding,
yeah, yeah.
He doesn't transfer it. Sorry, he doesn't shield guard it. Yeah. But he transfers it to the light that I'd already damaged
right.
to kill it.
Yes.
He thought he could reap the fury.
No.
So I was like, no, you can't do that. Yes. Like I was like, let's be clear here. No. I love your train of thought and I love the like that you were thinking that. Like that was really good, but no, you can't do that.
Nope.
So I do a bunch of damage to the heavy, you know, I didn't even kill the
what he needed was World Whites, because you probably one shot them under your feet.
Right.
So he shield guards it. It's got fury on it. You kill it with the feet, it gets more fury. There he doesn't have Wild Whites. He has Guardians. They're never going to die under that. Because I just want to check this. They're armor 15, so half down to 8.
Yeah.
And he's got, oh man, so like, it's not a lot of boxes anyways. But I guess it depends because you wouldn't boost on him, right? If you if you knew you could
but kill him. But if it's 8, then even the E-Leap is dice plus.
It's correct. But I think he might have as many as like 17 boxes or something. Anyways, carry on. He doesn't have that type of build. So.
Right. So then, but I've triggered the feed on the caster. So one transfer is gone. The feed's
got 14 triggered. Boxes. So if you hit it with like Siege, what's Siege's power? 14?
14.
So you dice plus 5. If you roll a 9, you kill it.
Yeah.
So it's a possibility. Anyways, carry on.
He's spent a fury and hasn't used a shield guard yet. So I activate... think at this point it was the other right side battle engine. He charges into one of his lights just to do some free damage in case this game doesn't end. I take the first shot, hits, he shield guards that one.
Yep.
The E-Leaps go and kill some stones and some solos in the back.
Sure.
Irrelevant, doesn't matter. Second shot hits, he takes that damage.
Just to check here, he's defense 16, right?
Defense 16 on this, yeah.
And but you're
I'm within 10 inches.
You're within 10, so you're at 8. So I need
boosted 8s.
So you didn't boost the first damage rolls.
I boosted the first hit. I didn't boost the damage because he shield guarded it.
Yeah.
So then I boosted the hit, boosted the damage on this one. He might have transferred or not. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Triumph goes, takes his shot, misses.
Bad Triumph.
Like a boss because he needed aim? No, I had to move to like get a better shot. So I needed a 9, boosted 9.
Yep.
So I missed. So then it's like, whoa, this is like, now I'm down to 2 activations to kill him.
Right.
If the Storm Strider is not within range, I have a Hail Mary to do with a Minuteman. The Minuteman can walk up, leap, and then take 2 POW 14s at him.
Right.
I'd have to boost the 2 POW 14s to hit and just have to hope my damage rolls are high enough to
dice
kill
off
him.
Two. Yeah.
So there's enough space now because one of the other models had moved that I move the battle engine up.
Yep.
As far as it'll go, check the 14. I have a half inch to spare.
Okay.
So nice. It was pretty close. Boost the hit, boost the damage, boost the hit, kill him.
Right.
So he was dead. Didn't have to activate the last model. So it was like,
yep.
I was like, okay, I'll take it. 3-1, I'm good.
Which Chatty should know that if you're going to scoop turn two, then turn three, you're going to be going around assassination. Like,
that's
right?
I'm done. So because of the way I play Siege, I don't score a lot of CPs. So I tied tiebreakers with strength of schedule, but I plummeted to fourth.
Right.
Because my I didn't have any CPs. So
start playing the game, bro.
I was. My winning games, but you know.
So you won the three on assassination?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Lost one on scenario, the other three assassination.
Another reason not to try to assassinate.
Yeah. Got no secondary scoring.
Nope.
So yeah, that was crazy.
Sounds good. Sounds like fun.
It was good times.
Sounds like the type of shooting list that I hate, where just everything shoots and it.
That's Signar. That's what they're supposed to do.
Give her an opening, then she goes in.
But it's funny because I haven't played Signar in how long? Like, they sat on my shelf for like almost 3 years, maybe?
Oh, yeah. It was that long, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I dusted them off once in a while, but I always kept up on the purchases, and I was like, I'll buy this stuff. And
I
had all the
new things. Oh, I know you have. Did I give you back Brick House?
I painted him up and finished him.
Did you? Yeah. Is he ever going to see the table?
No. I just wanted to get him done.
I mean, when he came out, people were like, oh my God, he can lock shit down and blah, blah, blah.
It's kind of cool. But with the wrong caster.
Is he like 18 points or something stupid?
He's overcosted too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has he got a bond with somebody, or is it just some dude without a...
Maddox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then it's
good. You're not going to see a table in him. So the event was good. Norbert ended up winning.
Yep.
With beat his Donnie. Players. He beat Donnie. Donnie, I think, could have had it, but made one mistake, and then that one mistake cost him the game, I think.
Yep.
He actually, I think I scared Norbert enough that he actually dropped Scar.
Really? Yeah.
Cause I guess he didn't like the way the game went with Siege 1. So he didn't want to do that again.
Really?
And Donnie dropped Siege 1 against him. And Donnie's list a little different than mine. It has a Hurricane.
Okay.
So I guess,
it's more slams and shit.
He was more worried about that. So yeah. So he dropped the other list, his Scar win list.
Yep.
Donnie got second, Corey got third, I got fourth, and then all the way down.
Sweet.
The not make fun of the guy, but the guy who won the first World Ender this year.
Yes.
Because he went 4-0.
Yes.
He went 0-4. So he kicked all our butts last month, and this month he got his butt kicked.
Was it the Menoth player? Or
no, that was the Scorn player.
Oh, okay.
So right. I guess the dice just weren't there for him this time. Sure. So it was just mildly amusing that you go 4-0, then 0-4.
It's a dramatic change.
Yeah. It was just, yeah.
But shit happens, right?
Yeah. That's good.
Sweet deal. So I was going to talk very briefly about Wormwood, because I think we've talked enough, but since I mentioned it.
What do you got for Wormwood?
I don't have a lot, but I was listening to Boosted Roles, episode 4. It had Tomas on it, and he was talking about his list.
Tomas the one that won our
CP? Yes. Yes, he did. He won our CP counter from Muse.
I'm eventually going
to
put that
looking like it's going to need to be shipped.
I got to find a box to do it, and then figure out what the cost is, because I offered him a OTC widget instead, because that would be really easy to ship. That one's going to be a little more expensive, so we're going to work on that.
Yes. He was talking about his list that he took to check masters, and he was saying that at some point during WTC prep, he kind of identified that High Reclaimer was a bit of a problem, and the Judicator High Reclaimer thing was a bit of a problem for his pairing, and he wanted to switch to Wormwood and Kruger. But his teammates were like, no, if you practiced too much with this pairing, you stick with that. So he stuck with it for WTC. Obviously, it paid off because he went 6-0. And then he immediately switched over to the Wormwood list. And I guess I could tell you what the Wormwood list is, because I did make it.
You made it.
Listed up to it. Wormwood, Tomas. Okay, so... it has Wormwood, and then Cassius, of course, Megalith, World Warden, World Guardian, 3 World Weirds, 2 Gallows Groves, 2 Stone Shapers, Blackclad Wayfarer, 2 Sentry Stones, 2 sets of Shifting Stones, and Min Pharaoh Bone Grinders. So I guess the idea is that, you got a lot of line of sight control with Wormwood. He has to kind of put, passage or shielding or whatever to stop spells, because if the turn that he doesn't have that up, you just stranglehold the Judicator and then maybe Curse of Shadows it, who knows, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, if he puts Hand of Fate on it, you've got 3 World Weirds that have Purgation that could potentially...
That can shoot through anything. They don't even need to worry about seeing it. Sit
on the other side
it.
Of forests and stuff. Yeah. So it's a bit of an issue. It's got a lot of control with the strangleholds and stuff like that. So, I think that's particularly
what it was tech towards. I haven't played Wyrmwood in a long time. I haven't played Surgeon in a long time, but I haven't played Wyrmwood in a long time. I did play a couple games against Dave with a couple different versions of High Reclaimer Adjudicator with Bradigus, because it was just like, I think I played once with Kruger and I killed Adjudicator top two, bottom of two or something on my phone in turn two, but that was because it was like Dave's first game and he was kind of inexperienced with it and stuff. And then I played a couple games with Bradigus, and both of the games basically came down to, can a souped up Guardian one round Adjudicator? It's a little less than 50%. Both times it didn't, and I just lost the game immediately. And I think even if I do kill the Adjudicator one round it, I think it's still like a 50-50 game at that. So it's not
favorable at all.
Not favorable. And a good
50-50 coin flip, that's...
is less than a 50-50 coin flip.
Yeah, because you got to kill the Adjudicator first to make it a 50-50. Yeah. So if you don't get that part, then you're like, and I lose.
Yeah, and a good High Reclaimer player will probably make that killing the Adjudicator impossible. I mean, I have to hold my feet to threat the Adjudicator, basically, and it's not good at all. And the one build he had was like four units of Exemplar Knights, the Weapon Master dudes, and they hit pretty hard and shit, and he can like put Hand of Fate on them. So
it's pretty now nasty. Wait till he gets Sevi Zero and that list even comes
up. I know. So I was like, yeah, well, you know, this sounds like an interesting list, and I'm not like an enormous fan of Bradigus. He's I know he's good. Like, he does what he does well, but he's not super dynamic. On his feet turn, he kind of is, but doesn't feel like it outside of the feet turn, right? So, and he kind of feels like an all-in type of caster. You're all in on the feet turn. You need to win that attrition swing hard in the feet turn to win the game.
Yeah.
Don't like that. I like having longer game plans than that. But he does crack armor like a motherfucker. So
pow what on the feet turn on the big guy?
Pow 23.
Yeah, that'll do some work.
Not bad.
Yeah,
not bad. When you double ones one of your attack rolls, though, it really swings the math outside of your favor.
Oh yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, the one game I took it down to 2 boxes, and the other game 12 boxes because I missed an attack. So, like I said, it's dice plus 4.
Dice plus 3. Isn't he armor 20?
He's 19.
Armor 19. Yeah. Yeah. Dice plus 4.
Dice plus 4 is pretty good, but it's only 55 damage on average, and he has...
Because you're doing 11 on average, right?
Yeah.
If you roll 7s every time, yeah. But then obviously that's what the averages are, but...
Yeah, yeah. But it's like he has 60 boxes or 64? I can't... No, it's the Hyperion that has 64. I think he's got 60 boxes. Mm. So on average, I leave him on 5 boxes. And
so you the Bradigus list
does not have... You'd have to... modify the Bradigus list in some way to include World Weirds.
I was going
to
say, if you had the little shooty guys to tenderize them on the way up, then you'd be
But then right. You've kind of like, you've modified it, you've neutered it out of its wheelhouse of what it's kind of supposed to do, right? You have to sacrifice something to do that. Yeah. So you've taken other matchups and made them weaker just to try to make this one playable.
Right.
And like I said, even if you kill the Adjudicator, it still feels like a 50-50 because of all the shit that he's got on the table and whatnot, right? And there's not enough RFP in the list to control his feet enough. It's just on the World Watchers. I'm much more enticed by playing Wyrmwood. He's much more control oriented and much more complicated.
More dynamic.
Exactly. Much more dynamic. And that's kind of the way I like to play Circle.
I like when you played Circle before, because you played it so much that you were like, you went down the rabbit hole. You were bringing out casters that nobody was playing. But I like that, because you were like thinking outside the box and you knew the faction so well that you're like, I'm going to play this. Well,
I don't know the faction.
Not right now.
In like 8 or 10 months or something like that. So I just thought I'd start, as a starting point, I'd play these Tomas lists and probably until the CID becomes legit, and then I'll play other stuff for sure.
I got to get some games in. See what it does. I don't even know. I haven't played Circle.
I'm bringing tonight Wyrmwood and Kruger, I guess.
So Siege one.
Well, I'll try Wyrmwood into it because you didn't really.
I already
like
played your.
You didn't really like the Kruger. The Kruger
is very favorable for you.
It feels that way. Yeah.
Oh, it definitely is.
So see, I'm kind of excited by this list. I mean,
that was my Haley 2 list. Was almost like, what can I drop into Kruger 2? So I'll be like Haley 2. Okay.
Can try that. Try out controlling him. Yeah, I like this list. It's got lots of shooting and stuff. World Weirds are cool.
I'm going to bring some Haley 3 too, because I have to put that on the table eventually and lose some games with it.
See how you feel about that?
I have no idea how to play it, so.
Yeah.
I know it's like walk up and make clouds and back up, so.
It's a little more complicated than that.
But that's what I got.
Yes.
And then after that, I'm like,
It definitely feels like a list that rewards good target prioritization.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
It'll be interesting.
Anyways, I'm hungry. I want to go get sushi.
All right. What's
wrong with sushi?
Just like I gotta eat sushi again.
Oh man, well, how can you not? I could eat sushi every day. Oh my god. I have
to pay for it tomorrow. So if you want to see my battle report, it's on PartyFowl WMH.
You made a battle report?
.com. Yeah.
I didn't even think you were literate.
I didn't say it was good.
Right.
Like, okay. I got pictures. No meme people. Don't worry about it.
Oh, man.
Reddit people, the best. No memes. It's just regular pictures that I took from the event.
Sweet.
I did some, like, you know, here's some setup pictures. Here's my opponent. Here's, yes. What's happened after my feet turned. So, yeah. So you can see that on the website. We've got our Instagrams, PartyFowl Scott and PartyFowl Greg.
Yeah, I occasionally post stuff, too. Yeah. Not very often, but
I have my Facebook. Instagram linked to our Facebook page, so if I take a picture and post it on Instagram, it posts it on our page, too.
Does it really?
Yeah.
How the hell do you have to show me how to do that?
I don't know
how to do remember how to do that?
Nope, I'm going to have to figure it out. So. There is a way to do it. We have to look at your Instagram. We'll figure it out.
All right.
So thanks for listening. Yeah.
Till next time.
Ciao. Da-da-da-da.